If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
And don't you forget it. This is tedious, or I should say, the Daily Showa. That little voice drop is from a bygone era. Number 1135.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
The Jewish apocalypse.
The Daily Showa.
There you go. Jahans clears it up for us.
The Daily Showa.
That's what it is.
It's the opposite of a yarmulke.
No.
Okay.
I don't know about that one.
Because Owen Benjamin is.
What's the opposite of a yarmulke? What's the opposite of
Baratari? International Court of Justice.
Oh, we're gonna
is
do
it
that.
Like a, is it like a frisbee?
Is it the opposite of a powdered wig? In like 2024.
Yeah, that might be the opposite of the yarmulke.
International Court of Justice report.
That guy. Yeah, right. Yeah, there you go. That guy should be wearing a yarmulke. Mm-hmm. If it's who I think it is, it could be someone else though. But anyway,
so this is what you want to open with, right? This is where we're going. We're going right to. This is De Hague. Like I don't want to hear The Hague. I want to hear guys with like brutal Chicago accents. De Hague.
The fucking Hague.
No, that's new.
Have you been listening? De
Hague.
De Hague. The Hague.
I'm sticking with Mearsheimer. Who's driving the bus? Is it Ditka? Mearsheimer. Yeah. All right, anyway.
The Hague.
The Hague.
Let me set this up real fast. South Africa made their case yesterday.
Well, you're setting it up too much. We want just
the
drop.
Don't you have any like brutal Chicago accent jokes to make? You can do like the Bears? This guy's trying to do content?
I just want to do hypocrisy bingo.
That was the worst Alex derail of all time. We're in here doing jokes. He's like, all right, well, this story right here is very important. Like, no. Talk about the Bears.
What he's saying is really great.
The
Bears.
This cheese sauce is a stain on this newspaper, much like the Jews.
This guy should be wearing a
genocide is a stain upon humanity and the longevity of whatever.
It's under that wig he's got on.
Like a Gaza grater.
This cheese stain is representative of the Jews' moral blemish of genocide on their people's history. The Hague. All right. Now.
The Hague.
Now the bit is done. So we're just going to play this guy. Yeah, I'm sure he does not have a brutal Chicago accent.
Some of the comments to which South Africa refers are clearly rhetorical, made in the immediate...
I thought he was going to say retarded. That's how brain broke.
Some of the
comments in South Africa was made are clearly retarded. That's what my mind was groping for that, too. I'm sorry.
Clearly rhetorical.
He almost said it.
Clearly retarded. You're a retard, Harry. I'm ruining everything. I'm ruining the news. I'm ruining.
No, that's fucking funny.
Clearly. All right.
Clearly rhetorical, made in the immediate aftermath of an event which severely traumatized Israel, but which cannot be seen as demanding genocide. They express anguish and the necessity to restore control over Israel's own territory and a severe threat and safety to its citizens. As Dutch Tomka has noted.
Interesting. So now these are just hyperbolic statements. Now, first of all, he's lying.
Right.
Many of the statements that have been made by Israeli officials were not said in the immediate aftermath. Some of them were said as recently as a few days ago.
And that's what's up.
And they were not referring to securing control inside Israel's own territory. Bezalel Smotrich just last week or a few days ago said, these people are not going to be allowed to return to Gaza. And we are going to level the whole place. So, and that's what they're actually doing. And there's no coded language, like what they were saying with the Nazis, how they would, this is coded language for for like gassing Jews or something, but there's no coded language in what these Jews have been saying. So I wonder what Cockrell makes of that. But Cockrell's in the position where he's like, well, I think the Nazis committed genocide, and I think the Israelis are committing genocide. So he actually can have a – he's one of the few people that can have like a consistent position here.
I can't believe he's such an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
He actually
saying
said that
Israel's committing genocide. Does he work?
He thinks that, you know, he's been arguing that. Yeah, he thinks.
Yeah, so he's being paid for by Hamas. Disgusting.
Well, he lost all of his Jewish friends.
Right. Well, clearly he's got a bunch of new Arab friends.
Time to come clean.
He's part Arab.
Time to come clean.
There you go.
Time to come clean on the Holocaust, there, Matt. You know it's bullshit. You don't have to do it anymore. If you lost all your Jewish friends, there's no reason.
Yeah.
Your career's done. You're not going anywhere. This is what happens. You think that...
If you really wanted your academic career to take off, you should have immediately done what John Fetterman did.
You saw what happened to Claudine Gay?
Start now waving like, Jew flags around.
Claudine Gay Matt. Like, now Gay Matt, Claudine Gay? You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you like genocide.
Right.
That's not how this works. I mean, I wonder if it has given him any pause after his interactions with you, all those, like, goofy emails when he's trying to, like, ban you. It's like, look at you now. Look at you now. On the wrong side of Zionism, and now you have no Jewish friend. Where's Dr. Avi?
Dr. Avi is probably in Israel.
He's probably like shooting...
Jewish soldiers that get blown off by Hamas.
Oh, he's that kind of doctor?
I bet you he did that.
I figure he's one of those like,
he's
Jewish...
He's the type of guy that probably...
I figure he's one of those Jewish bullshit doctors. Like, I'm a doctor of making stuff up for, like, you know... Like, you
yeah, I actually don't know what type of doctor he was. But he was working in a hospital, so I don't know. But I guess he's a doctor, so
okay.
A lot of them work in hospitals. So
there you go.
I don't know. But he's not like some. Dr. He's not Cuddy. Just like a pill pusher. I don't know. Maybe he is. I have no idea.
Maybe he's a copium prescriber.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't realize
maybe
that.
Maybe doses of copium.
So now another thing that's been going on is Israel has been accusing. So yeah, we're talking about the case with the South Africa. Brought to the International Court of Justice in The Hague, accusing Israel of genocide. And their case includes like citations of what Israel has been doing, as well as lots of the like an exhaustive amount of comments from people in the Israeli government suggesting that, in fact, they are trying to kill. Alex is muted.
They're just fringe people. Those are just fringe. Those are just people on the very far right fringe of Israeli society. They don't represent anything.
But you said French
right,
people.
But they're in the government.
Yeah,
and,
French. French people.
Yes, those are just French. Yeah, those are French people. The people calling, they're not even Jews. They're just French.
We know how crazy the French people are.
Yeah. But so that's their case. Their case is like, look at everything they've done and look how many people they've killed, and these government ministers saying these things indicates that this is a policy. It's a pretty solid case, actually. Now, the Jews have accused South Africa of hypocrisy.
They've also accused them of being funded by tied to Hamas.
Well, they basically like said they're being Hamas.
The legal arm?
They're acting as Hamas's attorney, which is like,
yes,
well,
legal
so what?
Arm.
Like, who cares? Like, that's not going to – that they're not going to care about that. But the thing is, the hypocrisy is not – that Israel is charging them with is not in relation to any of the issues with whites and the ethnic cleansing of whites going on in South Africa. That is not the hypocrisy that they are talking about. Because the Jews have not mentioned that. Now, some Jews have. That Jew, Avi Yemeni, whose job is to – he's a tard wrangler for like people like Tommy Robinson, basically. he's like a handler of – he's one of Tommy Robinson's Jew tard wranglers. Because the two of them are always like hanging out and palling around. So he's out there saying that. But like the state of Israel isn't saying that. They're saying that South Africa is hypocritical because they're not accusing Hamas of genocide too. So, we're not talking about Hamas right now. Israel, we're talking about you. Stop trying to change the subject. Like, we're talking about you. You're the one on trial here. You're the one who's being accused, and we're just not discussing these other topics. I mean, frankly, even if Israel did say that to South Africa, and they did say that about whites, I would say the answer should still be the same. We're not talking about that right now.
I guess the thing that I found.
I guess they do what they always do is, like, argue, like, genocide. Our genocide is in self-defense. Therefore, we're allowed to do it.
Yeah, no, that's what they're saying. That's their argument.
That was the funniest thing is the guy that one of the first the guy that showed up there earlier. What's his name? Shaw. He was basically doing this bit where he's like, well, you got to look at what happened on October 7th. Not that that excuses genocide, but you got to look at this to put into context the sort of threat that is represented against Israel. And I'm like, you literally just contradicted yourself. You said that October 7th, in a way, is justifying what you're doing now because of the threat. Look what they did. Therefore, we need to do this. I mean, it's amazing.
They objectively say that all the time, as does America. They say everything. I mean, if you want to see, well, maybe we're skipping ahead. We don't need to go there yet. But there's a great, there's a funny video of the press conference with John Kerry. Actually, it's relevant because it talks about this. And then it goes into one other issue. So I'll post it here. So this is the State Department or the Defense Department spokesperson, former Admiral John Kirby. We also got to talk about the nigger being AWOL for several days and not telling anyone. That's very funny. We'll talk about that in a minute. Go to about minute 18.
I was just going
to
ask you, this is like an hour-long podcast, press conference.
Go to minute 18. Yeah. This is John Kirby, our favorite fucking dissembler and liar, answering questions. Oh, first, right. We got to get this nigger off the screen.
Admiral John Kirby, who is going to give us an update on the Middle East. So, Admiral.
Afternoon, everybody. I'll be very quick to this afternoon. I'm sure you've all seen reports about...
Nice fucking tie, asshole.
Everybody ready to get curb stomped? Here he comes. Here comes the curb.
Curb stomped. Curb stomping. No, he actually is going to be the one getting curb stomped.
Oh, all right.
I'd like to show everybody. Let me give you this paper.
Oh, man. I really like this graph paper.
Nice tie with Ukrainian.
I was going to say, I like the graph paper tie he's got on, like the grid with the different, like, that's very, like, I haven't seen a tie like that in a long time. That is hideous.
Yeah, that tie is highly some, like, ugly. That's what happens when you try and wear the colors of American allies, like, you end up wearing ugly shit, like blue and yellow and blue and white. Ugh.
That's some Van Heusen. That's some Van Heusen looking shit right there.
Maybe his daughter gave him that tie.
I was going to say, that tie is a bad Christmas gift. That's what that is. Or maybe, like, Father's Day. It's like, whatever.
Is his daughter the broad in the sign language square?
Wear the tie.
All right, let's press forward here.
The Iranians' apparent seizure of a merchant vessel called the St. Nicholas, a Marshall Islands flagged and Greek-owned oil tanker. While it was lawfully navigating waters in the Gulf of Oman, we condemn this apparent...
Oh, wait, hold on. I gotta talk about that real quick. Sorry to derail again before we get into him talking about the stuff at The Hague. That
you can't derail
Iran...
a boat.
What's that?
You can't derail a boat on the Israelis.
Well,
that's true.
The Iranians just took back what was theirs.
Yeah. Oh, lawfully navigating, like, by according to who's... Well,
yeah, after it had been hijacked by America and taken to America, reflagged, and sent back out. So it's like, no. That was their... They were taking... You stole a tanker full of oil from Iran, and they stole it back. Fuck you. So, yeah.
Oh, I thought there was maybe more. Okay, here we go.
There's no more of that.
Yeah. The Iranian government should immediately release the ship and its crew. These provocative and unacceptable actions need to stop. We'll continue to work with our allies and partners to determine...
anyway, sorry.
Well, the response is unacceptable, right? Like, our provocations...
Well, I mean, they're talking about the Iranians seized an oil tanker, which had initially been seized from them. Now, the tanker hadn't been seized from them, but the oil was seized from them.
Yeah.
And
they've been pirating their oil for, like, what, 20 years?
Yeah. Yes.
We learned that.
In front, the full range of Iran's concerning and destabilizing behavior in close coordination, of course, with the international community.
Oh, my God.
Now, I've gotten a question over the last few days. And each time I've gotten the question, my answer was... probably as satisfying as a gravy sandwich. So this is about the Israeli decision.
This nigga just say gravy sandwich?
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
That sounds satisfying
as
fuck.
He's saying, he's basically admitting that no one likes his answers.
For the Israeli Supreme Court, obviously I can't comment about cases before the Israeli Supreme Court, but I can affirm that the United States completely supports the critical work that journalists are doing around the world and certainly in the conflict in Gaza. And we want to make sure that they're able to do that safely, securely, effectively, and with full transparency. So we discuss a wide range of topics with our Israeli counterparts. I'm not going to get into the specifics of diplomatic conversations, but I can assure you that media freedom is and will always be a part of those discussions.
Now, are the retarded facial expressions part of the sign language? Or is that just like she can't?
No, she's just disgusted with what she has to sign.
But it's just, well, it's
she's
just like,
this guy is so full of shit.
She's having to co-sign all this.
How does being deaf works? Like, since you're like, and no one can hear you anyway, do you do all like the Italian gesticulating with your face instead of, because you have to use your hands to actually do the language? So, do deaf wops, like, do this more extravagantly than this, I don't know, this ginger, whatever the fuck she is, bro?
They always seem to be pulling faces. They're always pulling faces
people,
when they're doing
deaf people today. I don't want to do that.
Why? They're not listening to the show.
Okay, that was a perfect setup. Perfect fucking setup.
There's like, literally no
set it up
here.
And knock down.
There's
like,
no consequence.
That was like that was even like easier than a slow pitch softball on their hand.
That'll be the next show at like, TRS podcast for the deaf. This is great. The video of me making faces.
Yeah.
Podcast for the deaf. Yep. I like that album, actually. It's pretty good.
Songs
for the Deaf is pretty good.
I'm sorry. I'm ruining this whole thing. Go ahead,
The Supreme Court decision he's referring to, which he's assuming reporters are going to be mad about it because the Israeli Supreme Court rejected an appeal from international journalists for access to the Gaza Strip.
What? They rejected an appeal?
Yes, basically the Israeli government said we're not going to give you journalists access to the Gaza Strip.
Why not?
Independent access, so they can't go in unless
because
they're being
you,
like,
that's why.
Taken around by Israel.
Yeah,
and so they sued them, and then the Supreme Court just like I guess some journalist organization sued Israel over this, and the Israelis are like, no, we're just going to do that. And so he's basically saying he comes out saying like. I know you're going to want to ask about that. I'm not going to have any answer that you're going to like, so don't even bother. He says we just support what Israel does. Period. Like,
yeah,
is what he says that. That's basically what
that's what we're here for.
What he's going to say throughout the whole thing. Yeah.
Whoops.
Range of topics with our Israeli counterparts. I'm not going to get into the specifics of diplomatic conversations, but I can assure you that media freedom is and will always be a part of those discussions. I don't know if that gravy's
any
more tasty than before.
Like, at all, ever.
Yeah.
There's actually no point to me even doing this.
I mean,
I don't answer questions.
I can't reach my drops right now, but it's like the question is like, give Shlomo whatever the fuck he wants, you know?
Yeah.
That's the best I can do today.
Best I can do is whatever Israel wants.
Yeah. Yeah, best I can do. It's like, oh, dude. Best I can do is whatever Israel says.
I don't
says.
Know if that gravy's any more tasty than before, but that's the best I can do today.
What's with this guy in gravy? He's making, like, I want disco fries now.
Yeah, he's saying, because I guess his idea is that a gravy sandwich is, like, unsatisfying. I'm like, since when? Yeah,
maybe like, the Iranians recaptured a gravy.
You ever get a hot, open-faced roast of beef, and then, like, once you eat all the beef, you still eat the bits of bread that are soaked in gravy.
Yeah, like even without the roast beef, I'd still be like, thank you for this gravy-soaked bread. This is fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's actually fucking good. Like, so, yeah, I don't know what this guy's talking about.
Nice.
Like,
yeah.
All right, back to the international.
Thank
gravy.
You, Karine. Two questions. Today at the hearing of the ICJ, the judge said that under Article 51 of the convention that Israel is a signatory to, Gaza is an occupied territory. Despite the fact that Israelis withdrew troops, Gaza, Israel maintains control over land and sea. And therefore, the protection of civilians in Gaza is a legal obligation of Israel. So, number one, do you agree that Israel Gaza is occupied? And second, is protection of civilians legally under the Israeli jurisdiction?
I would love to hear what's the official American bullshit answer to that?
Well, you're about to hear it.
I'm trying to like do some edging for the audience. Like, I would love to know, like, what guys know. We know my position. You know,
answer is going to be, we reject the accusations made against Israel at The Hague. I think
strap yourself into the gravy boat. Here we go.
Starving.
I'm
Dude,
not.
His answers are way worse than
a
plateful of gravy. I'm just going to put that out there. Anyway, yeah, pressing forward.
Get back to me again. Where is it? We're 2004. Give me 2002.
I'm going to render a legal opinion from this podium, Nadia. We have said.
You need to render a legal opinion? Like, what is our diplomatic, like, what do we say about that?
That's a nice dodge.
Feels like
That's the question is, what is the United States position on this?
Yeah, like what's
I'm not asking you to chime in legally. I'm asking what is the U.S. government's position on this?
Well, that feels like it came from the greatest hits collection containing other wonderful titles like I can neither confirm nor deny.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Well, I'm not going to render a legal opinion.
What's to imply that, like, the United States at large, its diplomatic community, its foreign policy, these people, like, as if they've never, this thought's never occurred to them before. They've never given that question any consideration. Like, it's like, wow, that's a good question.
That's a great.
We've never considered that.
In between wow, Frame's face on the death row is amazing.
Is the yeah right? Is the but like imagine like the, wow, no one's ever asked us, is the West Bank occupied territory? And if it's an occupation, do the Israelis have a legal? Wow. You know, that's never been brought up. I can't render a legal opinion right now because literally this is the first time anyone's ever mentioned this to me. Or any of my colleagues. We just have no thoughts. We have no thoughts on that. Jury's out.
The Jews claim that Gaza was not occupied, but apparently the court has already said that no, it is, because the fact that Israel is saying we're not allowing media independent access to Gaza kind of proves the point that, like, yeah, they're in control of it. It's certainly occupied now. They're saying before October 7th, it was not.
I think one of the more obvious problems they ran into this issue of the Hamas being categorized as terrorist. So it's like, are you engaged in a struggle with a nation state? Or are you engaged with a struggle with a militant group within this territory that you occupy? Like, what's going on here?
Right, which is it? Because
you can't play fast and loose with that.
Well, they can't pretend that they don't occupy it because they control entry and exit to it. Period. So, like, they didn't have troops inside this actual territory before October 7th. Well, now they do. Now they're
the other
effectively
thing
occupying
is,
it.
I just
there's no question about that.
Look at a picture of Gaza on a map. Just look at it.
Yeah.
True destruction.
I'm not going to render a legal opinion from this podium, Nadia. We have said repeatedly that we believe these allegations, this case, is unfounded and that there's no basis for accusations of genocide against Israel. That's not a word that ought to be thrown around lightly.
Wait, what? You just
that is the most opinion. That is the
you
most lightly that's the most lightly thrown around word like in the world.
Yeah, it is actually one of the most lightly thrown around worlds by Jews particularly, but also, like, you just rendered a legal opinion. That's very true. You said that the claims of, like, one side were baseless. That's a legal opinion, buddy.
Yeah.
We believe these allegations, this case, is unfounded and that there's no basis for
is that your legal opinion, sir?
Sounds like.
Dude, look at it. Look at the. Yeah, I can't stop looking at the faces she's
accusations
pulling.
Accusations of genocide against Israel. That's not a word that ought to be thrown around lightly. And we certainly don't believe that it applies here. Now, to the question about civilians, again, I'm not an international lawyer. I'm not going to pretend to be, but we have some.
I'm just a small town bird lawyer. I don't know what genocide means. Look, I don't know what civilians are.
As a spokesman for the United States Department of Defense, I don't know anything.
The United States Department of Defense can't demand of us that we have an opinion on who civilians are and what you're supposed to do about civilians in a war zone.
He's like, he's like unfrozen caveman Defense Department spokesman. Like, look, I'm just a caveman. I don't understand these fancy legal opinions in international courts. But one thing is clear. Israel is absolutely innocent of committing genocide.
Since the beginning.
Even I, an unfrozen caveman, can see that.
This is Gravy Birdman, attorney at law.
Gravy Birdman.
Not going to pretend to be, but we have since the beginning talked to our Israeli counterparts about the special burdens that modern militaries, particularly modern democratic militaries, have when they conduct military operations to protect innocent civilians and to protect civilian infrastructure. Those conversations continue, including on Secretary Blinken's trip.
Okay. Since you're not an international...
Can we hear those? I'd love to hear those conversations. Anyway, what is this...
That's just, it's just kayfabe. It's just show. It's nonsense. Blinken put up a show of begging Israel to stop killing civilians.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And they were just like, yeah, we're just going to ignore that. Like, it's just fucking play acting. Yeah.
What's this Taco Bender going to ask him now?
As a lawyer, I will advise you to read what the judge said, which is Israel is in violation of Article 2A, 2B, 2C, and 2D. He said that the bombing campaign in Gaza is the heaviest in the history of modern warfare, including what the Russians doing in Ukraine. So he asked the Israelis to...
What about what America did in Iraq?
...to suspend immediately the military operations in Gaza. The White House position is no ceasefire. So is the Biden administration in violation of international law?
No.
And the call of the judge to suspend...
Oh, that's a good question.
She asked if our administration was in violation of that.
She's saying that the court has said that that Israel is like legally responsible for civilian life in Gaza and that it should cease its military operation. Mm-hmm. So by us taking the stance that all of this is baseless and unfounded, are we now violating international law? Huh. That was the question.
No, the judge statement notwithstanding, the answer is absolutely no. Israel has a right.
What are you talking about? Why is the judge? Isn't that like the whole point?
I thought he's supposed to like. I thought he gets to render legal opinions. He's a judge.
I was going to say it's amazing how many legal opinions we're rendering right now.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of like legal opinions are getting thrown around pretty lightly.
Hot and heavy with the legal opinions.
Curb stomped.
Legal opinions, hot and heavy.
Israel has a right.
Sometimes guys like to go issue legal opinions out by the pool, and you know. It's really kind of pedantic.
Pedantic. There you go. That's good. Very good. I like it.
Sweet. Absolutely no. Israel has a right and responsibility to defend itself. We're going to.
They have a legal right.
You know that. Remember Jonathan Lewis? Mm-hmm. Those niggers beat into a coma and then he died 2 weeks later. It was a very disturbing case. Very upsetting.
Yes.
Those niggers pled self defense.
I'm going to render a legal opinion on that.
I mean, this is like, that is literally like, you are a pack of niggers claiming that you killed one boy.
The curb stomping a kid to death is like...
In self-defense. This is Israel defending itself in Gaza. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yep.
Give me a fucking break.
We're going to continue to make sure that they can do that. We're going to continue to supply them with the tools and capabilities they need to do that. No country should have to live to that kind of threat next door.
Well, then move. Why? Who put the country there? Who the fuck put that country there? It wasn't there.
So,
it wasn't there before 1948.
Yeah, I mean, but...
This threat didn't exist because there was no country there where it didn't belong.
Does Gaza get to say that? I mean, does the West Bank get to say that? No one should have to live with this kind of threat next door because who's really killing whom?
Who's killing
whom? Like, you killed... Before October 7th, you had killed 200 people in the West Bank this year, like last year alone. So what are you talking about? Do the Palestinians... Are they obligated to live next door to a threat like that?
It just means like Jews.
Yes, they are.
Jews need to not live next to any threat. Jews, these are people who are in charge. We have to give them all the... For some reason, they want this little strip of desert. It means a lot to them, so we're going to move heaven and earth to make sure they have it. And we're going
to
fucking...
Well, I wanted to point out real fast before we move into so many different things and forget here, but one of the things that Malcolm Shaw talks about is that Israel needs to be able to... like permanently eliminate the threat of terrorism from Gaza. And I'm like, how can you realistically do that without also just destroying the nation
genocide.
or having an authoritarian police state over the top of it?
Right.
Like if it's going to be any kind of independent nation or body of people, there's always going to be the threat of some kind of terrorism or misbehavior or whatever you want to call
it. Right. Like living next door to someone means like they could always like theoretically attack you. Right. So, what Israel is demanding, like, just, like, not having...
If we want to be technical about it, Canada could conceivably have a terrorist faction that could attack us.
Right.
But that wouldn't justify America saying, well, we need to invade Canada and then set up like police stations all over Canada and keep our military garrison there just in case.
And there's sign language girl showing. This is her sign for like America double fisting Jewish dicks.
Yeah.
So
it's like, yeah, Israel and America fist bumping. Is that that? That's like the sign.
I just
that.
Figured she was. Yeah. She was love you long time, Zionism. What else we got here?
So no, we are not in violation, and we're going to continue to make sure Israel has what it needs. I'll add one more point. We're gone.
What does it need? Like more bunker busters and like cluster bombs and. More shit.
Yeah. Oh, well, that, this question comes up all right. now too.
This is like
some interesting stuff.
This is like my face when America needs to make sure Israel has everything that it needs.
That's I'm wondering if this. Yeah, maybe like
maybe she's A-logging Kirby
faces. But the sign interpreter can't be deaf. She has to be able to hear what this guy is saying, so she's not deaf.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But she's so
she's
good at
just it. Like maybe.
She's
the faces
wasted.
Are to sort of communicate emotion along with the
I guess so,
along with the hand gestures. I don't know. It must be awesome. It must be because there's no real reason.
I keep
to pull
stopping
those faces.
This for no fucking reason. Let me see. So let's go back six right. seconds.
No, we are not in violation, and we're going to continue to make sure Israel has what it needs. I'll add one more point. We're going to also continue to make sure that humanitarian assistance can get to the people of Gaza. That Israel conducts its operations in
how. How is the humanitarian assistance getting there? I mean, I remember that was being... go ahead.
It's going to get through the region that's not completely controlled by Israel, because Israel's definitely not occupying the place, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Doesn't Israel like have to agree not to like missile strike the humanitarian convoys every time we do this? Isn't that the
problem?
They've
never done
well,
that.
Let's not tie their hands.
They've never done what?
They've never agreed to not... Well, they've agreed to not do that maybe sometimes, but they don't... They do it.
That's usually at issue here. Is like if you just send aid without their say-so, they're just going to attack it. I believe they attacked
well,
one.
That's because Hamas steals the aid and then they use it against Israel. Don't you know anything?
Yeah.
Duh.
Anti-Semite. In the most precise, careful, deliberate way possible, so that they can minimize civilian casualties.
Bullshit. Your position if the final ruling is actually the
I'm not going to get into hypotheticals from here.
How about things that actually happen, like bombing hospitals? Does that minimize civilian casualties when you attack hospitals? Like, if your goal is to minimize civilian casualties, like I don't care what you think is under the hospital. Like, if you bomb the hospital, you're maximizing civilian casualties. That's why they came out with this massive campaign to lie about that, to lie about the hospital bombing and pretend that Hamas did it themselves. Because you're admitting,
Kirby
like,
is just like enabling that.
Yeah,
like, he's just lying.
That's America.
He's lying. He's just straight up lying.
Imagine thinking that like Jews need help lying, and you're gonna be, I'll be your top guy.
We have made our position.
Yeah, he's their number one guy. Yeah.
I did want to follow up on the ICJ proceedings.
Sure.
Obviously, made the position of the U.S. clear, but will the U.S. accept the court's decisions or penalties if Israel is found by the court to have committed genocide?
Look at this. I'm just looking at the diversity of the.
Yeah, I know. Look at all these brown women just like owning this guy.
Oh, is that Ducey? That's son of Ducey over there. There's the fox. He's not even listening. He's like, yeah.
He's not going to ask any unfriendly questions about Israel. He doesn't give a fuck.
He's like, do you have any Israeli cum that I could drink? That's what Ducey's going to ask.
Yeah, do you have any spare?
What's he looking
Israeli
at
ball sweat?
What's that, Alex?
What's he looking at? See, Sam?
Probably on his phone.
Again, I'm not going to get ahead of where we are in the process.
Can Israel count on the U.S. to block any potential sanctions that are levied by the court, should it come to that?
I'm just not going to hypothesize or get ahead of the process here.
Boy, what
the answer to that one is a definite resounding yes.
Yes. The answer to that question is like, the Hague can't impose sanctions on anybody unless we do it. So we don't even have to.
Right.
We don't have to defend
sanctions.
It's a valid question,
which is like, what if the Hague... On the outside chance they decide against Israel, like, are you going to respect that? Like, that's a very valid question. And he's like, well, I'm not going to answer hypothetical. It's like, it's kind of fucking stupid, dude.
It's kind of like, this is a unipolar world, and any decisions like this that go against us, we can just ignore, because we're in trouble.
It's also like, you can't tell me that hasn't been discussed, and there's not a position on that already, and the position isn't like, yeah, we'll ignore and gun guard for Israel no matter what. Like, so, come on. Now,
The
that woman understands that too. It's just that, like, she's doing like a petard hoisting here. She's doing just like owning him, just trying to embarrass America by asking that question. Hmm.
So, yeah. We've made clear our view on this particular case, and we've made clear our view on supporting Israel as they defend themselves.
Secretary of State.
As they defend themselves from other people existing. They defend themselves from the existence of their neighbors. The mere I meant occupation more as in not as militarily, but just like, you're occupying space in our world. We must defend ourselves from that. Unacceptable.
Yeah.
Antony Blinken said that the U.S. is prepared to take action against Houthi attacks in the Red Sea. He seemed to make more forceful comments about it. Just how far is the U.S. willing to go?
We talked about this yesterday. I'm not going to telegraph punches one way or another here. We're going to do what we have to do to counter and defeat these threats that the Houthis keep throwing up on commercial shipping in the Red Sea. We'll continue to consult with allies and partners about the appropriate next steps, but that's as far as I'll go.
What's the U.S. reaction to recent comments from the Houthi leader that any American attack will not go without a response and that the response would be bigger than the recent strike?
Again, I'm not going to speculate about potential future military operations one way or another. As we have said repeatedly, the Houthis need to stop these attacks. And
I wonder if he knew. Wait, do the Houthis have a right to defend themselves? He probably did.
Do they have a right to defend themselves?
What's that?
I mean, do the Houthis have a right to defend themselves? Are they not engaged in self-defense? I'm just trying to find where the I'm playing hypocrisy bingo with America, which you always win. Don't need a free space.
Yeah, your bingo card is full. The moment Houthis, you sit down.
Would you say they're interrupting the gravy train to Israel?
Yeah. How am I going to have my gravy sandwich?
Yeah, the gravy sandwich is
gravy train.
He's got the gravy boat. He's going to deliver the gravy to the sandwich, and the Houthis just blew up the gravy boat.
Dude, I'm very fucking hungry now. Mm. Jeez.
Remember that time there were like enemy boats like in waters near our country, and boy, that was like a nuclear crisis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember when that happened? I mean, none of us were alive, but still, I mean, you probably saw the movie about it. I think they did some. I did like the X-Men First Class was about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and like that JFK film, you know,
you're making me want to watch Hunt for Red October again for some reason.
I know, I've never seen that.
I have fond memories of it.
I remember thinking it was good, but it's been so long, so I don't know.
But yeah, I mean,
it was Tom Clancy stuff, so it's probably garbage.
But Houthis be like? There's these enemy ships like near our shores here. And they're up to no good. Like, we should probably, like, we need to defend ourselves, you know?
Right.
It's like when we didn't let the Soviets do it. Yeah, fucking made a big stink about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just trying to draw some other, you know.
Well, I mean, they're obviously they're the one country that's trying to impose consequences on Israel for committing genocide. So, we're here to make sure that, Israel's not going to face any consequences for committing genocide.
Consequences for any failure to do so.
And you talked about the U.S. having discussions with the Israelis to lower the intensity of fighting.
God, dude, the fucking Asian broads with a total lack of accent bugs me the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm going to see that happen.
You'll have to talk to the Israeli Defense Forces about their operations. I'm not going to lay out their timetable or their schedule of events. They have talked about the fact that they recognize a need to transition to a new phase of the military operation. We have obviously encouraged that kind of thinking and that kind of planning, and we'll see what they end up doing, but it's really for them to speak to.
Good.
Does this new phase involve less thousands of pounds of bombs?
Hmm.
Like less bombs or more bombs? Which way are we going?
They basically pulled all their troops out of Gaza City, which you could argue is just like a victory for Hamas, that they just drove the Jews out of Gaza City. They haven't claimed that they won there. They just left. They're saying we're going to a different phase of the war. So that looks a lot to me like they got fucking chased out. But yeah.
Corinne, John, Senator Kane.
So Patsy,
it's okay. You're looking at me, so it's okay. Senator Kane and more than a dozen Senate Democrats are working to block future administration's request to bypass congressional oversight of arms transfer to Israel. Your comments?
It's hard for me to comment on some amendment language that we haven't seen and hadn't had a chance to take a look at. We're also very careful about talking about any pending legislation that could be considered on Capitol Hill. I would just tell you, broadly speaking, we obviously take the oversight responsibilities of Congress very, very seriously. We do the best we can.
I'm sure you do.
Let me clarify this. Yeah. So in the appropriations bills, there's a bunch of them that are out there, like, and there's a fight to, like, not shut down the government. There was a amendment put in there by Republicans to basically waive congressional oversight for arms shipments and things like that to Israel and, like, only Israel. Apparently, I guess some Democrats made, like, a bit of a stink about this, although I'm sure that that's going to pass. But this woman now has some interesting follow-up questions to this issue. Because he's saying, like, yeah, but we take the oversight issue seriously. But then it's just this is actually the part I wanted. This is when I went looking for this clip today. This is what's coming next is actually the part I wanted to find. So there's some real howlers coming up from.
Hey, are you still listening? You should get behind the paywall. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and get yourself a subscription.
This guy, some real. Some real gravy sandwiches coming up.
All right, back in here. I was just gravy double checking something. Sorry.
Appropriately inform and consult with Congress as we provide foreign military assistance to other countries, including Israel, and that will continue.
But if you're saying, as you have said to my colleagues last week, that the U.S. is not actively assessing whether Israel is using these weapons in accordance to the laws of war, because you don't see any indication that Israel is violating those laws of war, and if there's no congressional oversight, no State Department internal review process, and no verification process on the ground, then how do we know that Israel is using these weapons in accordance to U.S. and international law?
I wouldn't agree that there's no congressional oversight. I think that's going up.
Okay.
Step too far,
yeah,
in terms of describing.
That's, like,
the...
just literally not true, though.
Well, I don't agree.
It's not true.
The relationship that
I'm going to render a legal opinion here and just
the members of Congress and the kind of foreign military assistance that we're providing. We are in constant touch with our Israeli counterparts, as I've said repeatedly, and we still see no indication that they're violating the laws of armed conflict. They are defending themselves.
Oh my fucking god, dude!
Can we throw on there that, like, the Israelis aren't even a signatory on the rules of armed conflict? I mean,
I think they are a signatory of the Geneva Convention.
Oh, they are now? I thought that was the thing that they weren't. Okay, I'm sorry about that. My apologies.
See, the hypothetical I would raise would be like, can you think of a scenario where Israel could conceivably be found guilty of violating any kind of international code of conduct?
Yeah, can Israel do anything wrong?
Well, no, because the code of conduct's for everybody else.
Right. Yeah, no, work. Israel ratified the Geneva Convention in 1951.
Oh, no shit. Why did I have that rightoid thing rattling around in my head? That they had it.
Yeah.
Okay, my apologies.
Well, they're not signatories to certain things like proliferation of chemical weapons, things like that.
Yeah, there's a bunch of international treaties they haven't signed.
Okay. It's the kind of stuff that a terrorist would not want to sign.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Selves against a still viable threat. There are too many civilian casualties. We've said that before. We want to see them take steps to reduce that.
So...
Take steps to reduce it.
It seems like you're conceding that there is, like, a
lot
burden
of civilian
casualties there.
There's a lot of just bloody
non-combatants. But they're all legal. They're all legal civilian casualties, though.
Okay, then why would you care if they reduce it or not, if it's fine? If what they're doing
That's
now
exactly
is fine.
Right. That's right. Exactly what. If they're not violating any laws and rules, why do you care if they reduce the civilian casualties?
Is that our legal opinion?
They're all legal, right? Every civilian casualty, literally, according to you, this is where I would go with this line of questioning. If I was one of these Asian broads, I would say, so according to you, well, they're all a bunch of fucking Asian broads in that fucking room.
Don't imagine Mike is an Asian broad. Don't do that.
Yeah. But no, if I were one of these affirmative action Asian broad hires in the press room at the White House, I would say, so is it your position that every civilian that Israel has killed, they've killed legally?
I mean, not all. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's collateral damage.
That would be a great, like, every single one is a legal, it's a good death. It's a clean shot. It's a clean legal killing of a civilian, right?
What they're doing is legally fine, but we would like them to change it.
You'd like to slow down just a touch.
But there's no indications that they are deliberately and wantonly violating the law of armed conflict.
Oh, they're just doing it by accident? If I break the law by accident, I still get in trouble.
So what about like the 84-page document at The Hague, though? Well, I don't have an opinion on that.
No, that's Hamas propaganda is all that.
Well, what's funny is that he's like, we're not looking into whether or not, because remember when we did this before and we did a press conference with him, or was it with the fat Pajit guy who's also does these sometimes, where the question was something like, you know, you're not literally like, what are we doing to make sure that they're violating, that they're not violating international law? And they're like, well, we're not doing anything. We're just sure that they're not. And so people were like, wait a second.
I just gave you the information. I just gave it to you.
Just to clarify on that, John, if you say there is congressional oversight, has the administration given Congress a complete list of weapons that you are sending to Israel? When is that done, before sending the arms transfer or after?
Because
there's two occasions of arms transfer already, December 9th and then December 29th, done under emergency spillation by
that.
The Secretary.
We follow the law. We follow the law, the intent and the spirit of the law. I'd refer you to the State Department for more details about that process. That's really under their purview.
Just to underline, is the U.S. holding Israel with the same standard of accountability that we apply to other partners that receive American weapons?
We are providing foreign military
No.
assistance to Israel as they defend themselves against Hamas. We have been very clear about what the expectations are for the use of that material, and that's not going to change.
Well, I would actually say, you know, I would be willing to say that maybe they aren't. Now, although granted, though, there does seem to be this particular double standard card out for Israel, especially with no, like, Congress just doesn't need to know what we're doing. Literally, like, the president and the Defense Department, whoever, just going to give Israel whatever they want. We don't need to tell Congress. That does seem to be what they're doing. So that is a different standard. But I don't really think America is particularly worried about any countries that we give weapons to, like, following humanitarian law. Like, I just don't think this is a concern. I don't think we give a shit about the Saudis doing it.
That's,
or the fucking Ukrainians doing it. I don't think that's on anywhere on any list of priorities at all, ever. I think that Congress has no problem getting oversight for weapon shipments to those countries. I mean, they'll fucking rubber stamp those as well. So you wonder, like, why is it that they aren't giving Congress oversight of what's going to Israel? Maybe because they just don't want anyone knowing. I don't know. Like, anyone at all knowing. I don't know. But I don't know if there's any much else to milk out of this. I think this guy's going to step down in a second, having literally answered.
You got any more questions?
On Monday, you told one of my colleagues that the Situation Room's ability to track where cabinet members are is, in your words, generic, limited to the city they're in.
This has to do with Lloyd Austin essentially going into the hospital to get surgery for prostate cancer and, like, not telling anyone and, like, nobody noticing until, like, several – it would have been, like, a week.
The dude was
just, like, missing. And here's what's so funny about this story. You know, there's people, and he's getting kind of thrown under the bus by other people in the government for like, not telling them, like, that he was going to be away from work and getting prostate cancer surgery. The funny thing is that it took them like a week to notice. And I was watching the Duran, and the guy from the Duran developed this whole stupid theory about this, which was that, like, there's some bureaucratic infighting and Lloyd Austin didn't want to show that he was unhealthy so he wouldn't face pressure to resign. I was like, no, he's just a nigger. He's just black and stupid. He just didn't tell anyone. And they didn't notice because he doesn't make any decisions. He's not making any calls, so it doesn't matter if he's at the meeting or not.
So let me get this straight. So this Kirby confirmed that they have the capability to track where cabinet members are, but it's only what city they're in. That's what we're going with.
I don't know. One would think that they would know that they if isn't there some. I mean, this might be Hollywood shit. Like, what was it with the show with Kiefer Sutherland where he's like the agricultural secretary and ends up becoming president or something like that? Because everybody dies.
In the, I like, thought the that was Battlestar Galactica. Oh no, she's the Secretary of Education. Battlestar.
Oh my God! I was trying to imagine a world.
That's actually a Hollywood trope. That's actually a Hollywood trope where there's somebody, some bureaucrat far down the line of succession ends up being president. They've done that a number of times. Fucking Tom Clancy even did it with Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
Jack Ryan became president because, like, a Japanese guy flew a fucking airliner into the Capitol building during the State of the Union and killed, like, every politician in D.C. Oh. So then, like, Jack Ryan, as, like, deputy CIA director, became president or something like that.
Is this like some sort of wish fulfillment fantasy here? Like,
yeah. No, it's just a...
Somebody flies an airliner in D.C. and kills everyone.
It's just a fucking dumb... It's probably a trope on TV tropes. Like, it's just a stupid trope. Like the guy who never expected to be anything but a government bureaucrat is suddenly the president. What does he do? It's like, well, destroys I like Kiefer Israel. Sutherland better when he was Jack Bauer. Like, I don't want to see this garbage. Anyway.
But yeah, this question that this guy's asking seems to imply that they've admitted to having a tracking devices on cabinet members, but it's only specific as to what city they're in.
And since he was always in D.C.
Well, he just didn't know he was in the hospital. I just want to play that back because that's pretty insane.
Is, in your words, generic, limited to the city they're in.
So they have a generic, no-name tracking system. It only tracks what city you're in. I mean,
don't they have?
Do they? Can they call up like Apple and find out where his iPhone is? I mean,
so right? Theory, yeah, the Apple could, knows better. Where
like, you know where people are within 2 meters, guy. Right? What's that?
Yeah. You can kidnap this guy, but just keep him in the same like general city, like vicinity of the city, and then you're good.
Why not just say we don't have the capability to track these people like that?
Or maybe we just don't care about them.
That seems to be in line with Cold War era capabilities where principals in the line of succession had to call in their location to the central locator system that FEMA runs. Are you saying that in 2024, when I have a phone in my pocket that can be pinged to locate me within a couple of feet, where I get the same kind of capability for my dog if I want, that we don't have a way of...
Can you also get like a shot collar that like makes these cabinet members like correct themselves when they're behaving badly? Like when Lloyd Austin is inadvertently like giving away the background strategy on the fight against Russia being like one of attrition. Can you like zap him so he stops giving the correct answer in a press conference?
Well, the funny thing about the Lloyd Austin story is the fact is that no one missed him just because he's a nigger.
Yeah.
They weren't looking for him because like that's the funny thing. Like he went into the hospital December 22nd. And he had prostate cancer surgery. Then he got a UTI from the complications of the surgery, so he had to stay in the hospital.
Was he a girl?
And apparently the cranberry government juice, only found out about this on Tuesday. So, like, I don't – like, it was kind of a big story, but it's funny. We're actually – again, once we're the only ones that are just going to tell you what really happened.
Yeah.
What really happened is nobody missed this guy. He's a dumb nigger, so he didn't tell anyone where
diversity
he was going.
Diversity hire.
And no one missed him at meetings because he doesn't make any decisions because he's a fucking stupid nigger.
Right.
The Jews making the real decisions just suddenly look like, oh, wait, that nigger hasn't been here in a couple weeks. Where is he at?
He didn't become his paycheck.
Oh, I don't know. Where the fuck is that guy?
Is he still alive?
Knowing where each person in the line of succession is without them having to tell the Situation Room or FEMA or whoever is in charge of tracking their location.
What are you going to tell Wolf Blitzer?
I do not have a different answer to you today than I did to your colleague on Monday. There is a process by which cabinet officials and their location is tracked by the Situation Room. There is a check-in every morning where their general location is known and locked.
Was this guy missing check-in? Like, what happened?
And,
that's interesting.
And reported.
General location. Each of these principals is issued, I assume, is issued a mobile phone. I'm sure you have one. I know Kareem has one.
Let me stop you right there. We're not going to track the GPS coordinates on somebody's mobile phone in the administration, and we're not going to plant a microchip in their neck like they're a poodle.
Wait,
Hey, that's
why
actually
the fuck
funny.
Aren't you? Well, yeah, Google Corporation is
only,
doing it.
We only like, do that to our we only do that to our citizens. We allow like Salesforce to do that with your data. Right?
Yeah,
only
like,
if you're,
you
only if you're an
about?
Amazon customer.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why don't you? That's all, it's also like now if you take like line of succession crap seriously, which I really don't because all these people are clowns. But like, why wouldn't you track the location of the secretary? Why wouldn't the government be tracking the location of the Secretary of Defense at all times? Like that to the foot.
Right.
Like, what would? Why wouldn't they do that?
Why isn't there a chip in his neck? Like a poodle.
They check in every day, shoulder, and we know where they are.
Well, did he check in from the hospital?
But no, but, that, but that, you didn't, though.
He did it, though.
That's and I leave it at that. But the
problem is, yeah, but you didn't Austin, know where he was.
Right.
You didn't know where he was. You didn't know where he was for days. And you're telling me that these daily check-ins are the best that can be done at this
we
point?
We had no indication that he was outside the D.C. area. Now, it's true, we didn't know he was hospitalized. And I've said repeatedly that that's a problem. That should not happen again. That if a cabinet official...
Look, the fact that it happened at one time, just forget about it.
...becomes hospitalized or has to be seen for medical, certainly to the degree where the authority has to be delegated, that the White House needs to know. And Karine...
When was the last time he was at the office? When was the last time he showed up for work, this nigger? When was the last time Lloyd Austin checked in on anything? Like, I'm just assuming he's just checked out. I mean...
That's really funny. Oh, I'm sorry. They didn't miss him until a week ago today. Yesterday. So a week ago Thursday is when they first missed him. But so he was gone. He was like basically AWOL for like 8 days before they fucking
is
noticed.
Normally just like at home watching fucking game shows during the day? Like what is going? What? You know?
No, he was in the hospital.
They didn't notice him for those 8 days. Like how many days did they actually not notice him? I'm saying like there's no
right.
reason to believe
how
the previous
many
8 days
is he actually. Doing anything.
When was the last time he's been to the office? When was the last time he checked in on anybody? When was the last time he did something? You know?
Right. No, he doesn't do anything. That's the point. That's what's so funny about it. He's a nigger. He's a diversity hire. He doesn't know what's going on, and he's not making any decisions.
He's
there
not asking
to be black.
What's going on. He's there to be black.
And as a result, yeah, his job is just to be black, and, like, that's it. Like, someone else is making the calls.
He's talked about
so, a good question, actually, that I heard some people asking was, like, who actually ordered this missile strike and bombing on Yemen?
That's
because was it Biden? And but it's like yeah, but he's a puppet. Was it Lloyd Austin? Well, he's getting his he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
Who the fuck did it?
We have a system in place for that.
Yeah, we check in every morning and we bomb targets and we know the basic vicinity around where the bombs are supposed to land. And that's all we really need to know.
The system doesn't really require the action of individuals that are purportedly supposed to be in charge of the system.
Why, it's a system.
Right. Memo that Mr. Zients put out advising cabinet agencies to review those protocols. We'll get better at this. We'll learn from this.
Why a poodle?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have anything against poodles.
The nigger with the curly hair wants to know why he mentioned a poodle.
I'm just teasing. Okay.
We're just doing some like friendly banter.
Just friendly banter here
in the fucking press room in the White House.
Are we back to the Iranians now?
The seizure was in retaliation for the U.S. confiscating the same vessel and its oil last year. What do you think of that allegation?
I would put little stock in anything coming out of Tehran. This was a commercial.
Why?
What about like?
So the guy.
What about like the dancing?
Has not answered a single fucking question. Honestly, this whole time.
Coming out of Tehran. This was a commercial vessel, freely transiting international waters. No justification whatsoever to seize it. None whatsoever. They need to let it go.
What? Let it go? Why? Because you already stole it from them. It's yours now.
Well, they're probably just going to take the oil, and they'll probably let the ship go. Because it isn't actually a Iranian ship. It was in a ship with Iranian oil in it, and America seized the ship and fined the company that was transporting the Iranian oil $2.5 million, and then, like, I don't know what happened. They sold the ship or gave it to another company, and it's now flying like a Greek flag. and it's staffed by, of course, Filipinos, who are like a huge amount of the people that are working on these international shipping vessels are Filipino. And so the Iranians just and what they did actually steal $75 million worth of oil America stole from Iran when they seized that tanker last year. So, yeah.
Thanks, John. There's a new report out from the defense IG that says that American defense officials didn't fully count for nearly 40,000 weapons that the U.S. provided to Ukraine, sensitive material, small enough to be...
So we're just sticking with the oversight beat. All right, are we about done here? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. But this is further than I was expecting to go. I really just wanted to get the money quote on, like, oh, yeah, we're not looking into Israel, whether they're committing war crimes, because we just have no indication that they are doing so.
The oversight, it's like, Pentagon's never, ever been able to pass any sort of audit. Like, they don't know where half that shit goes. They don't fucking know.
Yeah, wasn't that,
oh, yeah, dude, there was a big brouhaha over, like, auditing aid to Ukraine. They, like, didn't want to do it.
I don't think they could if they wanted to.
Well, they're only estimating that $3.5 billion worth of shit went missing or is just so-called unaccounted for. You know, who knows? Probably we know some of it's in Mexico.
I feel like you could just show up with a box truck and a uniform and some paperwork and be like, yeah, I'm here to pick up the.
Hey, what's up? You know, you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks.
Missiles, load them in there. Thank you.
Yeah. Incidentally, it's also not, I don't know if it was true. I think there was a lot going around that some of that had ended up in Palestine. I don't think that's true. I think that the Palestinians make their own weapons. I don't know that they were getting any from... There's no evidence that they have any of those sophisticated anti-tank missiles, like the fucking... I don't know, the N-Laws or whatever the fuck they were called, but yeah. Anyway. The thing with Saudi Africa... that I noticed, and this is an important piece of information, I think, for our listeners to understand. The legal team for South Africa is all white, and they're not even all South African. I think some of them are, but some of them are British, and one person is, I think, Irish. And they're all white. There's, like, I think a couple of token niggers on there, but there's an Arab woman, too.
Right. There's like, a couple of Jar Jar Binkses.
But they're not doing anything. They're not doing much of the talking, and when they are, it's purely like for a show. The legal case was prepared by a bunch of white people and is being presented by a bunch of white people. And I think even Jeremy Corbyn has decided to like join. I don't know what he's going to do other than just be there, but he's like joined the South African delegation to The Hague, as has Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who's like the leader of what's effectively the Green Party or the far left party in France. So this is a thing of white libtards. And this is why I take all claims of Jews like souring on diversity or souring on brown people or brown immigration or DEI. I just don't think so. Because why do you want to let people like this go to Harvard or Oxford and get these prestigious law degrees so they can, in the future, maybe press a case against Israel? Like, what's the point? Like, they're not, like, sure, like, they find brown and black people protesting about it, like, irritating. But they're not, you know, they're not going to, like, change their stance on diversity in America. I mean, they haven't, and there's no real reason why they would. It's not like that's actually hurting them. I mean, America is doing whatever Israel wants, despite the fact that they're having these issues on some of these campuses. I mean, they're worried that maybe that won't be the case going forward. And a bunch of Jews are actually suing Harvard now. They're suing Harvard. And I think all of this is part of an orchestrated pressure campaign against Harvard to make it basically be a pro-Zionist institution by force. And that way, when people that are going to be part of new administrations and new elite institutions graduate from Harvard, they will graduate with a bunch of Zionist priors rather than anti-Zionist priors if they're not Jewish. So, yeah.
I just have a hard time believing that was a problem before. Like, it seems like this, you know, that's just the Jewish fragility on display. They're like, are there really a lot of anti-Zionist priors coming out of Harvard graduates into elite positions? And it's just like, I just don't see it.
I think they eventually just get beaten down too if they have them. Like AOC was like one of these type of people, right. But she just does what Israel wants. Yeah, now. She got the memo. So yeah. I think that they're making a lot of it. But again now, so Borzoi talked about on the third rail yesterday this Tablet Mag article that came out by this Jew who said, you know, unrestricted immigration actually is a problem. Like, we can't deny this anymore or something like that. And I'm like, well, you know, I really think that that's just a Jew just jumping out in front of any narrative. Like, I just think any narrative that they can find that they can spin to their advantage, they'll just have at least one Jew jumping out in front of that and putting that out to people like, oh, yeah, South Africa. Yeah, they're hypocrites because of the white genocide of Boer farmers. That works. They'll have like one Jew, like Abby Yenemy.
Abby the enemy.
Friend or Yenemy. Yeah. So Abby Yenemy, he's just the Jew who's like hard wrangling in that particular corner. He's like, yeah, I'll appeal to right wingers with this. No other Jew has to do it. I'm good enough, just me. And I don't need to deliver anything on this either. I'll just be out here saying it and winning friends and tricking white people to supporting Zionism.
That's the beauty of when Jews, what was the Spencer Quinn terminology? When Jews what right word? When they drift right word? It's like it's like the benefit is you never have to deliver anything. Right? They never have to put up or shut up. The right is so thirsty. And we've seen examples of this over the years in many ways. On a grand scale and in tiny, like, low-stakes interactions is, like, the thirst right-wingers have for validation from somebody, especially somebody that they have no reason to trust, somebody who's not one of you, like, somebody who's an outsider.
Yeah.
There is, like, everyone is willing to believe, I shouldn't say everyone, I always overgeneralize, there are people who are just always willing to believe that this person, to the point where you'll call someone secretly based, where you're not even saying anything, you're reading into something you want to see and being like, that's secretly our guy. They're working for us. I support. It's just, it's crazy.
So well, all the people are doing this to now, they're doing it to like John Fetterman. Like you have people out there saying like Fetterman is like secretly based, even though Fetterman never said a word about white genocide in South Africa. He just said, South Africa, maybe you should sit this one out.
Was that all he said?
That's all he said.
And we're just reading into that white farmer murders?
The rightoids, there are rightoids that are reading into that.
That's the genocide you literally never speak about. That's just like it's an unwritten rule. And I guarantee you, he probably doesn't even know about it, Fetterman. He's bubbled.
Well, that's what they were suggesting on Third Rail, which is that Fetterman just had a brain fart and thought it was still like 1980 South Africa. Like he just thought apartheid was still going on. Maybe he saw that all the lawyers
basically
were white.
He's probably just bancing them on their historical record. That's not a brain fart. It's like he's just probably. How many people are actually aware of white South African farmer murders? Like this is a really well kept secret in global politics. Like it's not useful for people to know that. That doesn't help. That doesn't help the cause. That doesn't even if you don't want to talk about Zionism, you just want to talk about anti-whiteness. That doesn't help. That doesn't help people knowing about that.
Yep.
Nobody knows about that. You have to be.
No, John Fetterman was not talking about that.
No way.
There are, like I said, there are a couple of people doing it, but they're purely just tard wrangling rightoids when they do it. Like don't trust the Jews on this. Like they do not care about that at all. No. They never have. If they could have a deal with the actual South African government that is doing that, they would do it in a heartbeat and fuck whitey. Like they have no principled stance on anything. So,
I mean, you want someone like who's talking about that? Like Dingo and Boerdrack, you know, John Fetterman is not talking about that issue. Get the fuck out of here.
No, he's not talking about that. No. Nor would he. Cause he doesn't, one, he doesn't care. And two, he probably doesn't even know. But I would also say that the South African presenting side of this claim in the court has said stuff that's stupid too. Like the case against Israel is good, but they did rhetoricals drawing a parallel to South Africa under apartheid. I'm like, that's not true.
Right.
South Africans did not do what the Jews are doing.
No.
To the niggers. They did not.
How many thousands of tons of bombs did South Africa?
None. Now, South Africa was in a war with Angola. They probably used bombs in that, but even that's nothing compared to, like, fucking what Israel is doing. And as far as I know, the South Africans never did, like, air sorties and, like, bombed the Bantus and shit like that. The Bantu stands, whatever they call it. The fucking enclaves where the blacks were.
They did a go stay over there. And then there's the old argument, like, don't worry. Yeah. And then there was the argument.
Well, they also like, did a work permit. Like, you can come work here. Some of you can. And, you know, there was some amount of movement around. But, yeah, generally speaking, no. They simply had a place that was basically whites that were selected blacks only. And that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, these things are not analogous.
Not even close. Right. And people that try and draw that's why I hate calling Israel an apartheid state.
Are we going to break, or do we have time to do Ron DeSantis?
Yeah, we got a little time.
All right, if you look up,
I didn't actually watch. Yeah, but we can. We have some good DeSantis.
Should be a clip of DeSantis over here talking about letting Israel.
Who states
a damn it? I've got a 10-minute.
Yeah, I think it's in the first couple minutes.
All right.
I think.
Let's see what we got here. The Hill.
Oh, God.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis does not support a two-state solution in Israel and Palestine. Let's tune into last night's debate to hear more.
So we got to support Israel in word and in deed in public.
Well, when was this debate? Was there another one?
It's like there was another one a couple nights ago that no one gave a shit about. Yeah.
God, why are they? There's Nimrata.
She's like, I wanted that question. Pick me. I want to like lick Jew ball.
If she was,
it's Israel's pick me's.
If she was more important, like it would be a good opportunity to do another Bauhaus cover. It's like Nimrata. They have a song called Stigmata.
It's real, in word and in deed, in public and in private. And they need to be able to finish the job. Joe Biden is kneecapping him. He'll say one thing, then he goes, and his base doesn't like Israel, so he's got to do all these other things.
The base doesn't like
Israel. Give me an example. Give me an example, Ron. Give me an example.
Examples?
The Biden administration says bullshit like what they said in the church, like what Biden said in the fucking Dylan Roof church the other day. Like, I'm in talks with the Israelis about stopping the campaign. But it's like that, yeah, he just said that because there was a bunch of fucking liberals in the church that were, like, yelling at him. Like, it was nothing. No, where has Biden kneecapped Israel, Ron? Where? Where?
Ah, shit.
Like Israel, so he's got to do what all these other things. This is a time to recognize that they suffered the most deaths of Jews, murder of Jews, since the Holocaust. Hamas wants a second Holocaust. They want to annihilate the state of Israel.
I want a first Holocaust.
So I think to be a good ally... you back them in the decisions that they're making with respect to Gaza. Look, there's a lot of pluses and minuses.
Do we do that with any other fucking ally?
There are a lot of pluses and minuses.
Is there any other ally that gets to of America that gets to set their own agenda? No.
Absolutely. Pluses and minuses with how you're doing this. But for us to be sitting in Washington, second-guessing them, I don't think that's the right way. We also have a disagreement, Governor Haley and I, and when she was at the UN, she supported the idea of a two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinian Arabs. The problem with that is the Palestinian Arabs don't recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. So doing a two-state solution doesn't create something that's going to lead to a lasting peace. It creates a stepping stone for Israel's destruction. So under there are no circumstances.
Two-state solution hat back on.
Stances as president, am I going to pressure Israel to risk their security to do a so-called two-state solution? She was wrong when she embraced that, and we're right to say we trust Israel
to
make these decisions.
They're
a good ally
for,
of ours. We should trust their judgment.
Like, I mean, I know the answer. It's a rhetorical.
Gavin McGinnis's website. Like he's gonna have a.
These questions are clearly rhetorical.
Is this in Tel Aviv? Because that's only gonna like appeal to Likudniks and Israelis.
Right. Right, the Israeli public, Jews are the people that want to hear this.
What he's articulating is the actual policy of Israel. This is what they believe, but you're not supposed to say it out loud like that.
Right. And it goes against American public opinion, too.
Well, this
American
is,
public
well,
opinion
I gotta,
says
I gotta,
two states.
I got to tell you, as a longtime, you know, Rush Limbaugh listener from the before times, this was his opinion as well.
Yeah.
That yes. his basic, he would say it a little bit more diplomatically. And Rush Limbaugh would say that they need to just have a war. And everyone, he was operating under the impression or the, the false premise that, like, we're not backing Israel 100%. Like all the time, like that their entire like level of belligerence is because of our support. Like he's pretending like it's just independent. He's like everyone should just step back and let them duke it out because the implication was that Israel would just mop the floor with his Palestinians. And basically, he was calling for like we need to do a genocide. We need to do like we just lie hop an Israeli genocide, and then that's the state.
Right.
They need like this two-state solution is just going to be continuing the conflict. What we're doing now continues the conflict, and they don't want two states anyway. Every time they make a peace agreement, what's his face there, Arafat or whoever is in charge, like they go back on it. They don't want peace. They just want to forever have. It's like no Jews. But yeah, that's so. It's not it's not out of nowhere that DeSantis says it. That was considered a long time ago. Yeah. That's considered like a hardcore. That's a hardcore conservative opinion. Say like
that's supposed to be like based in conservative circles say that, and it's been for a while.
That means you're
but
not pulling
it's
punches.
Like,
that,
it's just basically, Goislop,
yeah, he's like, calling what's her face a cuck there. Like you're willing to like negotiate with these people and have this like a half-ass peace. Like we got real peace is like when all the Palestinians are dead,
right? But the other thing is though that it's like I mean not to defend Nikki Haley, but it's also like well. She was the United States ambassador to the United Nations, and that was on paper the United States policy.
Right,
so
right.
her personal opinion doesn't really enter into it.
Right.
You know, I mean, maybe she says that later on. So it's sort of like her job as the ambassador was to represent the official position of the country, but like not to defend her, but like it's a dumb argument all around anyway, because even America having that as an official position is fake because they would do nothing.
They're doing it now. They do it now.
Right.
Yeah,
sensitive issue.
Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, the true American position, what we're seeing right now, is like Israel
has
a right to
actually Ron DeSantis
attack its
Ron
neighbors
DeSantis
at will, and we support.
Here
yeah.
is actually the true American and the true Jewish position. It's just the Jewish position, whether they're in America or in Israel. That's just the Jewish position. It's just like no two state. Like
no, fuck
just gonna
guy.
You know
Meanwhile, the Biden administration is still squirming, trying to explain why.
All right, so this is a different story. Never mind. Okay.
Are they squirming trying to explain where that nigger went for a week?
Yeah, that's what they're going to move on to. Kirby grilled on Austin.
That shit
Austin
is so funny. Dude, the theories that people had about how that could happen, it's like when I heard Alexander Mercurius saying, like, there's obviously some bureaucratic infighting and Austin doesn't want to show weakness. It's like, no, dude, no. He's just a nigger. Like, no one cares. In the end, everyone breathes a sigh of relief when the nigger doesn't show up to the meeting. Like, that's what happens.
Right, but we're talking about DeSantis.
Like, so, anyway.
Two-state solution. We're going to pretend that that's not. Yeah. Sounds about right.
I'm going to be hanging from the bathroom!
My fault.
Is that Lloyd Austin?
Yeah, right.
Like, Lloyd, where are you going to be for the next 8 days?
So...
I'll be in a bedroom.
Just think of like all the Jewish money dumped into DeSantis' campaign months and months ago. Like this was the golden boy. This was the guy. This was the post-Trump Republican. I remember when they were. I remember arguing with you years ago about how they're building him up. And I'm like, I was on the position like that guy's never going to go anywhere. What are you talking about?
Ron DeSantis? You just weren't paying attention because it was obvious that like. I mean,
no,
I said he was going to go anywhere, but it was clear that he was like a golden boy. The Jews had picked him.
Right. I just said that's never going anywhere. That's not going to work. That guy sucks. And then I can't believe they picked him.
Well, then they funded him.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
Like $400 million. Yeah. So,
this is crazy.
And I was just looking at all the money going.
Usually that's the Republican.
And all the fucking press trying to.
That's usually the Republican that wins. But whoever the Jews pick to like super fund, like that's the guy. Like you can just you can ignore the primary because that it's just going to come around to this guy eventually. And who knows? Maybe it's still. Well, I don't know how they're gonna gain.
Well, that's
that.
What Trump kind of threw that off kilter in 2016, and so he's still the only person that. If it wasn't for Trump, it probably would be DeSantis just like out in front with a big lead. They also started crafting this narrative around Florida as going from a battleground state to a deep red state, and that's because of DeSantis. and him, his like the cultural changes he's had in Florida and like COVID refugees coming to Florida because of his better COVID policies and all that stuff. There's no real evidence for any of that.
No.
What's really happening is that like the Jews in Florida are shifting to the Republican Party.
Yeah. And they gave him
and the Jews are shifting to the Republican Party.
But not to,
like there's a shift there.
Not to what's her face though. What's her name?
Laura Loomer?
Yeah, not the Laura Loomer, though.
No, because she's legitimately just a retarded clown.
Yeah, no one wants to touch that. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think we can move on from there. Let's hopefully while we're eating lunch, the Merchant Minute will come in. It's not here yet, but...
This should be a banger of a Merchant Minute.
Should be.
So, yeah, we were tossing around ideas on what to do for it.
So that's either going to be after the bumper here or be somewhere in the second hour. You just don't know.
I mean, we haven't gotten...
You are listening to the Daily SOA.